Episode 289, 23 Lessons in 23 Years.
It's the David Triggs Show. This is the podcast where you can get spiritual power and personal development for everyday life. It's gozo for the whole family, jamba juice for the soul, your daily dose of gozo.
Well, again, everybody, and welcome to the daily edition of the Trigg Podcast of Joy and Gozo TV. Here with my gozo bell on this beautiful morning. How are you, my dear friend? Gozo Nation, Gozolandia, welcome to the Gozo Zone. Gozo, by the way, means zone in Spanish. Today, talking about 23 things that I have learned in 23 years of amazing marriage to my beautiful wife. Shout out to my lovely wife, Rochelle. This Sunday, just a couple days ago, August 19th, we celebrated 23 years of marriage. And so if you maybe are a younger person and you are trying to learn the way to success, how do you make it to 1 year, 2 years, 3 years? You might be someone who is already married and you're maybe going through a rough patch and you want to make sure that you not only stay married, but that you have a successful relationship. These tips are for you. You might be someone who is on the other side of the early years of relationship, and maybe you are divorced. You are now a single person again. These are things that you could pass on to family members, to your sons, to your daughters, and of course, even for you, obviously, these are things that can benefit you no matter who you are or where you are. So number one, we have a lot of things here to go through, so let me get right into them. Number one is to have fun together. Have fun. Probably the biggest advice that my father gave me before he passed away was the idea of doing things together, especially having fun. Number two is exactly what I just said, doing everything together. I think that too many times, because of many reasons, couples don't do things together anymore. At first they did. Obviously, when they were dating, they would be on the phone together all night talking, etc. But as things, I don't know, just change and other distractions come into a marriage, then a couple can get accustomed to not doing things together. But that is probably the greatest danger zone that my wife and I experienced early in our first maybe 5 to 10 years, is that we weren't doing things together. But since we have changed that, our marriage has been amazing. Number three is to pray together daily. What Rochelle and I do is we get up every morning at about 6 a.m. or so, 6:30, and we pray for 20 minutes. And that time of prayer with our coffee, just as we get ready to go to work, is huge because it unites us. It makes us one. It helps us to center our lives around God, around our faith, not around problems or around even the good things in life. Pray daily. Number four is to have the same goals in life. When you as a couple think through your goals, your future, where you're going, it's again easy to have different goals. The man wants to do these three things, the woman wants to do these three things. You need to make your goals the same. Yeah, of course, you may have your own unique interests, your own version of the goals, but you want to have very similar goals. And the only way that you even know your goals is, going back to number three, is to pray together, to communicate daily, to talk about what are the things that you want, that you need, where are you going, where would you like to see the family, the relationship go. Number five is do your budget together. They say that the two biggest problems, or three, I guess, in any relationship are sex, and we'll talk about that, budget, and kids. So no matter how much money you have or don't have, if you feel like you need more, of course everyone feels that way, do your finances together and know how and how often you should. It might be that you do that every month, every quarter, once a week. It depends on where you're at in life. If you have the means, that's obviously always more fun. If you don't, that's especially the time to communicate. Don't let the one person carry the full burden of the finances and of the solutions that you need to come up with. Number six is talk about the big things weekly. Talk about the big things weekly. And this is not just communication, but now this is dealing with how do you address the big things in life: illness, moving, jobs, issues in the relationship? Should you see a counselor? Do you have to move? As I said, the big things in life are the things where when couples can either come together or come apart. I've seen it over and over again. And for my wife and I, for Rochelle and I, those are the times when we've been through challenges, when we have come together. And the only way that you can do that is if you actually address the big things in life weekly. Number 7, learn each other's love languages. There's this great book by Gary Chapman called The 5 Languages of Love. And I won't go through them here just for time's sake. But check out the book. Go online. I'm sure the love languages are just there for free somewhere on Google. And ask the other person, which of these is your number one and maybe your second, your primary and secondary love languages? And so just a quick example. So my love language is time spent, words of affirmation, and touch. Maybe those first two primarily. For Rochelle, her love languages are acts of service and also time spent. And so when you know what the other person needs, if I know that Rochelle's number one need is acts of service, that means that she wants me to help her carry in the groceries. And that means more to her than gifts, love, words, or touch. Same thing goes for me. You have to know what the other person needs or how they receive love so that they actually feel loved by you. That's number 7. Number 8, speaking of sex, have sex at least once a week. And this might be a little TMI for some, but I wanted to put a little bit of a schedule there only because I think that couples that are married, of course, they have these wild expectations or these under expectations about sexual relationship and your sexual life. And so I put there at least once a week because that way you don't feel like it has to be some crazy 3 times a day thing. And or if you have been married for a while and your sexual relationship is non-existent, you want to ask, why is that? What's going on? Is there a problem? Is there somebody else? Are you into pornography? Are you dealing with emotional affairs? Are you maybe involved with somebody else? What? Or maybe it's just anger. Maybe it's something physical. It could be a variety of things. But like they say, when a couple or a relationship has a healthy sexual relationship, then it's about 20% of the relationship. But when a couple is struggling sexually, it becomes 90% of a relationship. So make sure that you focus on that and that you talk that through. Number 9 is serve together. A couple isn't just about me, 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 and what do we do? It's about serving other people. So Rochelle and I, every Wednesday, we go to church, and obviously that's our number one way of service. And we teach classes together. I'm emceeing, and she's teaching a class for the kids. On Sundays, she's doing the announcements. I'm playing bass. I'm speaking. We sometimes, when she has something at school, I go and help her. I am the MC of a school event. We walk when we had the kids that were younger. We would walk with walk them together, meaning go around the block in the strollers and just have a night family walk. Serve together. Do active things together. Focus on other people together. Number 10 is include the children in just about everything. So if you do have kids, or maybe you are thinking of having children, whatever, depending on kind of how old you are and your stage of life, people always ask, well, do we include the children? The answer is yes. Of course, be sensitive. You're not going to tell them, oh yeah, mommy and daddy are thinking of getting a divorce. That would be a no-go. So, but you want to include them in things. When Rochelle and I were thinking of moving to Colorado, we asked the kids, even though they were, I think, 7, 5, and 3, we asked them. We didn't just drag them along. We talked to them. Obviously, we know that they were young, and so they were going to think from their little young lives, but it teaches the kids that they matter, that their voice matters, that this is a relationship that we all have. Number 11 is be quick with kindness. To be quick with kindness. Be honest and make sure that you're always kind at the same time. I think that young couples especially, and we went through this, they say to me a lot, well, I just want to be honest. you know, be honest, but be kind most of all, because sometimes when a couple, a man or woman, gets to the place where they want to, quote, be honest, is because they just want to get something off their chest, right? Be honest, but be kind. I think more than anything, kindness, love, grace are the keys to an amazing relationship. Honesty, don't let honesty be your excuse to be mean or to be heard. Preface it as, you know, there are some things that I need to just get off my chest. That's a better way to say things than to just be honest in a mean way. So be honest, but be kind. Number 12 is to forgive quickly. Forgiveness is one of those things that, it's been all over the place for a lot of people. For us, we are quick to forgive. Sometimes, yeah, it takes me, I'm probably the one that can hold on to things for maybe like 30 minutes. I mean, I don't hold on to things for even a day. The Bible's clear to not let the sun go down on your anger, meaning don't go to bed angry. And so, but give yourself time, but at the same time, do it quickly. And forgiveness is very simple, even though it's so hard at the same time. Forgiveness always starts with, I am sorry for. I'm sorry that I didn't take out the trash. I'm sorry that I used those words. I'm sorry for not being on time. It's specific. It's focused on the person, not on the other person, on you, not on the other person. And it's very, very quickly. Do it quickly. Number 13 is watch your words. Speaking of your words, don't bless and curse out of the same mouth. And this is something that I don't know, I guess it's still shocking to me sometimes how much couples curse each other. I mean literally just use negative language in public with each other, in front of the kids, in private, in the car. I mean, your words are powerful. Our words are everything. Bless each other. Even when you're upset, bless each other. Saying, for example, say something like, I'm upset, but I love you. You know, I don't agree, but I love you anyway. It's okay to be angry. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. It doesn't say don't be angry. Anger is a normal human emotion. But make sure that you forgive each other. Don't let that stuff just sit there. And don't just buy your wife a big diamond ring. Or if you're the wife, don't just wear something beautiful for him. Literally use your words and say, I am sorry for. Forgive quickly. Watch your words. Bless each other. Don't curse. What does bless each other mean? It means something like, I am so glad for you. I'm so thankful for who you are. And remember, this is not because you, quote, feel it or because he deserves it. A blessing is a prayer. It's something that you are projecting. It's something that you're throwing out there into the universe where you are, quote, as they say now these days, manifesting what you want. But if you are constantly cursing your husband or cursing your wife, that's exactly what you're going to get. That's number 13. Number 14 is take summer vacations together. Take vacations together. You may not have the means or whatever, but these days, I mean, most people that I know have the money to buy cars and buy clothes and etc., buy food, go to the movies. Take time to have fun together, especially a summer vacation, just because summer is usually a time where the kids are out of school or you may have a little break or some vacation time, etc. Take that time. It doesn't have to be expensive, although if you like expensive, then go for it. But make sure that you take that time. I didn't grow up with summer vacations, but Rochelle did. And ever since, I think maybe the last 10 years that we've been taking vacations, it's been so fun. Sometimes our car will blow up or, I don't know, something will go weird. But most of the time, they are beautiful times. Beautiful memories that we create together, not only the two of us, but the five of us, the family. Number 15 is avoid infidelity. I mean, this is like a no-brainer, but it has to be said. Even though on TV and on Snapchat, you see everyone getting divorced or getting upset, and then they write a song about their infidelity. Infidelity is damaging. It is anti-God. It is anti-love. It is against the very fabric of trust and oneness. God created man and woman to be one. And when you have a third person, you can't have one with three people. It's impossible. And so say no to infidelity. Say no to the beginnings of infidelity. Nobody just suddenly just does the whole thing all at once. It all starts with small choices that mean a lot. And so make a commitment personally and to each other. to say, I am going to be faithful to you and to you alone. You don't have to renew your vows. You don't have to just do it once when you got married. Do it daily. Don't live in fear of infidelity. Don't live in fear of another woman, of another man, but make sure that you are very aware of the signs and of the actions that you are taking to, and that you're not taking in order to be faithful to your partner. Number 16 is make money. These are just such simple things. These are all things that you know, but it has to be said, make money. As I said, sex, finances, and children are the three major causes for divorce in couples. Make money. Don't just sit around. Make more money. You know, I tell my kids the three principles of money that I have for myself and for them are simple. Number one, make more money. Number two is spend more money. And number three, if you're broke, go back to number one. If you notice, I don't have in there save and be careful. Guess what? Of course you're supposed to do that. I'm not against that. Of course you should be save, be prudent, don't overspend, get out of debt, all the normal things. But I don't live in that kind of mindset. Instead, I live in the mindset of there is more to be had because God is amazing and He is a God of abundance. Make more money. And then number two, spend more money. That just speaks to what we all enjoy doing. I don't mean overspend. I don't mean to be flippant with money or to waste money. No, of course, save and give and serve and give it to God and to the church and to others, the poor, of course. But my point there with number two is to enjoy what God has given you. Just read Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Even though it's all going to burn, God never said to not enjoy the fruit of your labor. So make money. Number 17 is be proud of each other. Being proud of each other is so important because it goes back to you admiring the other person. I have found in my marriage to Rochelle that the more that I admire her, the more intimacy and love that we feel. The more that I say with my words how I admire her as a principal, as a vice principal, that the more that I encourage her to follow her dreams. Because remember that the reason why we've come together as a couple is to support each other, is to help each other out when the other person's feeling down. This is not just a business agreement or a sexual agreement or just a financial thing. This is about seeing the other person shine. Like they say, you know, happy wife, happy life. The more that my wife is happy, the more that all of us are happy. And I have a huge role in her being happy by encouraging her with my words. You can do it. Let me help you. I'll go get that for you. I can see that you're afraid, but let's pray together. That is powerful for a couple. Make sure that you are proud of each other. Number 18 is support each other's dreams. Very similar to the one I just mentioned. But I think for some reason, I see that couples often get into this tug of war about whose dreams are more important, or, well, you have to do it my way, or, well, I'm going to just go do my own thing regardless of what you think, or, oh, he doesn't support my dreams, or, oh, she never helps me in the garage, or whatever, right? Support each other's dreams. And guess what? You first have to know what each other's dreams even are. And the best way to know what a man's dreams are is what? Guess what it is? Just as I say, watch what he does. Watch his actions. I love guitars. I love music. I love podcasting. And so Rochelle supports me. She will often ask me, what is that beat that you're making? And what is that new microphone that you bought? And when she works out, I love hearing her, how she got up at 5:30 and how it's been hard or how she's trying to work on this. Support each other's dreams, each other's pursuits. Ask about the things that you see the other person do. I don't have to get up and work out. I should with Rochelle at 5:30 every day. But just to know, support, ask questions, that will make your relationship powerful. Number 19, we have 23 things here, 23 things that I've learned in 23 years of how to have a powerful and successful marriage. Number 19 is to go on dates weekly. The idea of going on dates is huge, especially just the two of you, even though you may have or not have kids and, you know, life stage and finances, all the rest. Yes. Have that weekly time to be alone, just the two of you, just the two of us. Make sure that you spend that time together. That is so powerful, very important, because When you have fun together, you dream, you enjoy each other, you take a break from the normal routine, you watch a movie, you go to the ball game, you create memories, just the two of you especially. Don't bring your kids to everything. Don't use your phone when you're on a date. Don't just talk about work. Don't talk about business. Make a commitment beforehand. Pray in the car before you even get in. Or when you get in, pray in the car and say, God, help us to just enjoy each other. Avoid negative things. Make a commitment to not talk about those difficult things unless you want to talk about those things, but that's not a date. That's more of a business meeting. Make sure that you do that also weekly. You know, sometimes it may only be once a month, maybe twice a month, but the weekly routine is powerful because you can look forward to it and you can plan around it and have fun. That's number 19. Number 20, love each other's parents. The whole in-laws things, right? I've never, by the grace of God, had any issues with that. But I know that people do. My wife, by the grace of God, loves our family, loves my mom, my dad when he was alive, my grandmother when she was around. And I do the same thing with her dad, her mom, her sisters. Love each other's relatives and nephews and nieces. Go to each other's parties. Don't resent that. Make sure that you, if you have an issue with family stuff, ask your husband, your wife, why he's doing this. Or, you know, make sure that you figure out ways to communicate about family. I know that for a lot of people, family is a huge problem, especially the in-laws or the greater family. Depending on your cultural background, you may have 25 people or you may have one relative. Talk that through. Enjoy each other's families. If there are those people that you need to avoid, I have those. Avoid them, but encourage each other when it comes to family. Because remember, family is huge for your partner. It's a huge thing, so make sure that you find something that works. Number 21, this is very practical, is make sure you have life insurance, that you have health insurance, that you have homeowners insurance, car insurance, whatever. You know, talk to someone if you have a financial planner. Go and find, it could be a friend, it could be someone who does it for cheap. Find people, agents, etc., that can help you think about your future. Make sure that you think through your life insurance, especially health insurance. Yes, go to the doctor. I hate it, but go to the doctor. Have regular checkups, work out. The physical part of a relationship is huge because if your wife is sick, it ruins everything. You know what I mean? Not ruins, but it's a huge thing. If the husband is dealing with health issues, obviously it's a huge thing. Take care of each other, walk together, exercise together, think through the insurance, think through all of those details of investments and 401ks and retirement and pensions. I'm not an expert in that stuff, but my wife is, and together we figure it out. Get in there, start working on that stuff. Number 22, this is obviously a foundational one, is love Jesus together. You can't have one man, the husband, believe in Buddha and you believe in Jesus. You can't have one person who is anti-God or anti-church and you are like just trying to go to church with the kids. It just won't work. Your marriage will fail. You have to be of one mind. And if you're not, then you have to pray. You have to plead. You have to do whatever it takes to hang in there, to pray for your unbelieving husband or pray for your wife that maybe is distracted. But you need to seek unity of Jesus. And now if you already have that as a center, then serve together, worship together, pray together, read the Bible together, go to on trips, on mission trips together. Make sure that you are growing in your relationship with God. Go to church together, sit in the same pew together. There's nothing more beautiful, at least it's been true for us, than to actually be in church together. God has spoken to us in similar ways. Sometimes she'll speak to me and I can talk to Rochelle about what I've learned, what I heard God tell me. When the kids now, they're older, they also now are contributing to that relationship. Loving Jesus together is the foundation to a marriage of joy and of success. And then the last one, 23 things that I've learned in 23 years of beautiful, awesome marriage to my wife, is to go on an adventure together. Go on an adventure together every day. Every day for Rochelle and I is an adventure. Whether it's just church or it's our dreams to, I don't know, paint the fence, we live a life of joy, a life of gozo. And that is a conscious choice. We literally see our lives as a living act of worship to God, and more specifically, as an adventure. We see our lives as a living adventure with Jesus and with each other. So I'll give you an example. So just yesterday, as I said, this is our 23rd year anniversary weekend. Yesterday, we went to Disneyland to celebrate, and we parked. We went to Cheesecake Factory, had some amazing dinner, and then we walked across to, we were going to walk across to the Disney parking lot to take the train or the bus into the campus, into the theme park. But instead, we thought, you know, what the heck, let's just walk. And it was about a, 2 mile walk from where we were, maybe a mile and a half, to the gate. And it was fun. And we were planning on the way back. We said, you know what, let's not do that. Let's take the bus on the way back. And so we, you know, walked around Disneyland and all that stuff. And then we were leaving. We got on the bus to go back. But then we realized that the bus wasn't dropping us off near the Cheesecake Factory parking lot. It kind of dropped us off, you know, inside the parking lot area. And so we got off, we were walking back, and long story short, I think we walked for at least 30 minutes each way. So like an hour of walking. Rochelle has this walking app, and I think we walked 13,000 steps just getting to and from Disneyland. But you know what? It was totally fun. We were laughing. We were cracking jokes. We held hands the whole way, both ways. It was probably the most memorable part of going to Disneyland yesterday, just walking together to and from the parking lot. That was our adventure yesterday. It was just simple and silly. We made an adventure of just walking to the parking lot. And I tell you that story because that really is what a beautiful marriage is all about. You know, it's not about having sex every day or spending a bunch of money or having a huge house. It just is not about that. All those things are great, by the way, especially the first one. But it's about having an adventure with Jesus every day. And that could just simply mean walking to the parking lot. I see some couples that go to concerts. They go on dates. I see other couples that don't do anything fun anymore. Make sure that you go on an adventure every day with Jesus, together with your loved one. That's how you're going to endure. That's how you're going to last. That's how you're going to succeed. Endure, by the way, what I mean is you're going to persevere is what I mean. That's how you're going to do it. That's how we've done it. It's been an amazing, amazing 23 years. We can't wait. I asked Rochelle, so what are we going to do for the next 23 years? She said, how about we just take it one day at a time? And I said, great idea. One day at a time, says the song. Focus on Jesus. Have an adventure. And if there's any way that we can help you, we are marriage coaches, relationship mentors. You can go to davidtrigg.com/coaching. Excuse my voice because we talked a lot yesterday, so I'm a little hoarse. But you can reach out to us anytime. We'd love to help you. You can just email me, trigg@davidtrigg.com. If you have a relative, a friend, a son, a daughter, or maybe you are a young person who needs support, maybe you're a single mom, a single woman who just wants to learn more about love and relationship, please reach out to me, trigg@davidtrigg.com, and we'd love to help you. Thank you again, guys. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android. Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.